Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold as we continue to broadcast live from St. Louis. Hour left in the show today, but our coverage will continue throughout the rest of the day. On 96.5, The Fan, obviously The Drive coming up, and then Vern's On Deck show. But plus, follow our social media channels as Cody and I are heading over to Busch Stadium right after the show. Expected to have the media availability there when Cags will talk to the media for the first time as a big leaguer. Q will speak as well. We'll try to get some video of BP. So if you guys want to see some of that behind the scenes type of stuff, we'll bring to you that. They'll bring you that, I should say, on our social media. And of course, throughout the game tonight, looking forward to it. Going to be a pretty cool night for Jack Caglione. And hopefully, obviously, right away, we see some of it. I think the expectations, of course, have gotten so out of control. But let's have fun with it, right? Let's have some fun with potentially how the debut can look. We'll get our final predictions, if you will, on what that could be. We're going to have David Sampson join us in just a minute or so. He's calling in right now. We'll get his perspective on the call-up. We already played you some of that audio from yesterday over on CBS Sports earlier in the show, but we want to talk to him a little bit more about that and obviously just where the Royals organization is at, looking ahead to even the trade deadline in a month and a half or so, Cody.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously, small markets all operate a little bit different. I think some are better about sustained winning that necessarily hasn't led to all the World Series, right? We mentioned that with the Reds, with the Rays, at least on that end. With the Royals, yeah. I mean, they had two great years, like 4 years of competition, and then everything went kind of south, and now we're trying to figure out a way to build sustained success over time.
Coming up in about 25 minutes or so, you'll hear our conversation with the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo, as well. We got his perspective on the call-up and also just what their plan is here in the short term. As we found out from him that it looks like tonight they'll have Jack Caglione be DHing, batting fifth or sixth. They're working on that. But for those that were wondering, would he play in right field to open up, even though that's where ultimately he probably is going to play. Looks like DH tonight, though, for Jack Caglione. All right, let's go out to the hotline, though, and welcome in David Sampson. We've had David on the show a couple times in the past and always appreciate his insight. We played some audio from David earlier in the show as well. We appreciate you coming on the show. That audio, obviously, from yesterday, talking about Jack Caglione over on CBS Sports. And you said, quote, "What Kansas City has done is the single most irresponsible move I've seen in quite a long time when it comes down to the call-up." So if you could, once again, just explain why you believe that's the case.
Yeah, I know that I people in Kansas City, I appreciate what everybody is saying. I really do. And I understand, but there's a business to be run. And I just wanted to talk about what the facts are. And the facts are that if he's as good as everyone says he is, then what people should be much more concerned about is tomorrow instead of today, because tomorrow can come in 2 weeks. And by waiting 2 weeks, you actually hold off on arbitration for a whole nother year. And that is a multi-million dollar decision. And I just personally, as someone who ran a team for a long time, you're right, one World Series and that's all I won. However, you have to not just plan for today, but for next year, the year after, and the year after. And I speak from experience. I had Miguel Cabrera, who I would argue was a better prospect than Jack, though they're both amazing. And we waited till June 19th or 20th to call him up, and then won a World Series, by the way. But he didn't get arbitration eligible for a whole nother year, which helped us keep him for another year. Of course, we had to trade him because we couldn't afford him, but that's neither here nor there. You have to try. That was my point.
No, I totally understand. I appreciate you coming on the show and obviously willing to talk about this. For us, we're trying to figure out, you know, the track record of the Royals organization a little bit, too, because I think there's a lot of fans out there that say, hey, they were willing to get something done early, obviously, and thank goodness they did for Bobby Witt Jr. And let's say they are able to do something like that with Caglione. Does their decision to call him up today end up mattering as much if they think they can get something done early if he turns out to be the player that they believe he is?
Well, two issues there. One, in the old days, players would give discounts when you guaranteed their arbitration years and bought out a few free agency years. But these days, there are no discounts for that. And while you say the Bobby Witt deal is great, and man, it looks so great now, it's a little early to really look at the deal in its entirety. And so if you're not going to get a discount, the question is, what's the value of signing a young player long term? If you're just paying them what they would make in arbitration, you're just sort of guaranteeing a number. And then if a player gets hurt or doesn't perform, you're stuck paying that number. My view is I'm willing to pay top dollar, but I want to pay it for performance. And I'm okay if the player outperforms and therefore gets a huge number in arbitration, and my track record shows that. And all of that said, I just think it's important to note that players, when they're negotiating deals, they absolutely threaten, if you take me to arbitration, I won't sign in free agency, or I'm not going to make community appearances, or I'm going to be mean. And you know what? It never works that way. Players have very short memories. They don't hold grudges. No matter what they say publicly or privately, you're not getting an advantage by calling him up now and all of a sudden getting goodwill that's going to get you a discount. I don't think that's going to happen either.
I guess just from like a fan perspective, though, or somebody here, like it's spending somebody else's money. So if John Sherman shows a willingness to spend the money, I guess I don't care if it costs him a little more money down the road. I understand you're saying maybe it comes with 1 year less, hypothetically, or could cost him more in arbitration. But like as a fan, I'd want my team to worry more about how I win today than how do I win 4 years from now. And I understand like some of that is Royals haven't sustained success, but I don't like the teardown model either. Like I felt like you were stuck in a spot where you kind of knew you were always going to have to tear it down 4 or 5 years in a row. And some other small market teams have found that way, David, to do the in-between where they can be sustained success over time. They might have to make difficult trades, but they still get to win every year.
Well, hold on. Who are you talking about? The Rays are the only team I can think of that even when their window seems closed, they happen to just win a lot of games. And they're a front office that I always dreamt of being and was always jealous of. But every other team has windows of competitiveness, and you've got to take advantage of the windows and keep them open for as long as possible. But there's cycles of windows open and windows closed. Are there other teams I'm not thinking of who have sustained winning who are small revenue, low payroll teams?
The only team that probably comes to mind is like I grew up obviously cheering for the AL Central. So the Twins always came to mind in those 90s, 2000s
Hello?
Eras because I didn't think of them as like a huge, huge market, but they operated really well that way.
You cut out. I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened, but which team were you talking about?
The Twins is the only other one. I don't have a ton of examples. I was just saying like that 90s, 2000 era. I remember they kind of turned some teams around, and I never thought of them as being big, big market like the Yankees or the Dodgers or these teams who could just kind of do whatever they want.
No, I agree with you. But again, you're talking about 25 years ago. And so it's harder now to keep windows open for longer. And listen, there's a team this year that we can talk about, the Baltimore Orioles.
Sure.
They had an open window. They were winning. And all of a sudden, they're having a bad year. The players are going to get 1 year more expensive. The window's going to get closer to being closed. It's hard as can be to win in your open window. It's just you have to have a front office that recognizes when it is and try to pounce when it happens. And my point in Kansas City is your window, it actually gets shortened by this call-up, not lengthened. And I recognize and totally appreciate, as a fan, you don't want to hear any of this, but the reason why there are fans and then there are executives is executives can't act like fans because when they do, it actually hurts the fans because you end up with Matt Ishbia. You end up with someone who just has no idea what they're doing and just wants to play fantasy sports acting like a fan. and it doesn't work out very well. So you want your executives to be executives.
We're talking with David Sampson, former Marlins team president. You can catch him over on CBS Sports. Nothing personal with David Sampson. All right, away from that specific conversation, just when you look at where the Royals are positioned right now, they're just above 500. We all know the pitching has been excellent, but offensively, they've been dreadful. They bring in Caglione, who's going to probably start fifth or sixth in this order, but they've got other issues as well. How aggressive do you think they will need to be to get this team in a position to not only get back to the postseason, but can they do something to go on a deep run? Because right now, offensively, it obviously isn't good enough.
Well, the key is that you've just got to get to October, because in October, anything can happen. You need a lot of things to bounce your way, but I think teams have shown over the years you can be the Dodgers and get swept by the Diamondbacks because your top players, Betts and Freeman, go 1-for-20, and that's the end. You're out in 3 days. You can be the Texas Rangers and Arizona Diamondbacks and ride it all the way to the pennant. So it really does depend in October. So you're asking, how do you get to October? And right now the Royals are a game and a half out of the wild card. They are absolutely in position, even with the dreadful run differential, which is in the minus, which means they should be closer to 500, if not a game below. And they're right around that. And it's really what you want, and this sounds crazy because you'd rather be 30 games over, but what you want is, as you head into the dog days of summer, you want to be around 500 and you want to wait for that streak. And you hope that you can get to 10 games over 500 as you head into September and then end, 13 games over and get yourself, in wild card position. So I think the Royals are well positioned, but you're right. As with any low payroll team, everything has to happen, and it has to happen and fall correctly, and it just doesn't work that way for most teams on a yearly basis.
How do you view, I guess, just the organization as a whole? I know that you don't like this move for Caglione, but we've been optimistic about the way they've developed pitching or just found pitching here lately between the trades of Cole Reagans or what they found in Seth Lugo when they signed him, or even like Noah Cameron coming up and having success. I think for the longest time when I was a kid, the Royals organization mostly got made fun of. Where do you think they are now as far as an organization? Are teams around the league starting to respect what they're doing?
Yeah, they are. It's funny. When I was a kid, it was sort of the pine tar George Brett Royals as the foil of the Yankees all the time. And I viewed them back, I want to say the name Dan Quisenberry and players. I never viewed Kansas City as anything other than a threat during my childhood and formative years. So it's funny, depends on when you're born. My son, born in 2003 in Miami, went to college, graduated college, and the Dolphins haven't won a playoff game. Not one playoff game his entire life. So it really, and look what you've had with the Chiefs. So it really is a crazy thing. But yeah, the Royals, I tell everyone who will listen on my show that the Seth Lugo signing is the sign of a good team and a good front office. You don't need to be a good front office to sign Aaron Judge. You just don't. Everybody wants to sign him or Shohei Ohtani. The way a good front office differentiates itself is finding Seth Lugo for what I think was, 3 years 45 or 3 years 50, and what he did over the year and a half since he signed. That's really what you look for, and Kansas City's done a great job.
Lastly, before we let you go, this AL Central continues to, I think, surprise people with just how competitive it is. The Tigers, obviously, been the best team in baseball. It's June 3rd, so I just refuse to say a division race is over or anything like that. It's way too early, in my opinion. But what have you seen from the Tigers, and do you believe anybody can catch them?
So it's funny you say it's only June 3rd, but the reality is that standings rarely change from Memorial Day to the end of September. It seems crazy to say that, but it happens to just be statistically true. But when you look at what the Tigers do well, hold on, let me think about it. They pitch well, they defend well, they hit well. What else is there in baseball? They do everything well. And that's how you get the best record in baseball and get to be 19 games over. They have no weaknesses. They defend. They're second in the league in errors and fewest errors. So they really don't have a weakness. And so I don't think anyone will catch them. So I think that the rest of the Central teams are looking at wild card spots. And if you look at the wild card standings right now, two of the teams are in position, if you sort of think of it that way. And you're the third one, and you really have to deal with, Houston, and you have to deal with Toronto. But that's it. So it's an interesting situation. And it's going to be a race that I think we'll be in for the rest of the season. And here's what you should all be looking for is on July 31st, don't look for the biggest names. Look for your front office to differentiate itself and find names that help. And for that, I draw your attention to the Braves of 21 when they won the World Series. Everyone said they lost the deadline when they got Duval and Soler and Rosario. And guess what? Those guys helped them get a ring. So don't worry about the hype. Worry about the quality of the front office decision making.
David Sampson, former Marlins team president. You can check out his work, Nothing Personal with David Sampson, over on CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ as well, at David P. Sampson on Twitter or X, whatever we're calling it these days. David, appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
There you go. That's David Sampson with us here on Cody and Gold, talking a little bit about the AL Central, but obviously wanted to have him on to dive a little bit deeper into his comments from yesterday, talking about it sounds like it's a
philosophy thing.
For sure. And,
and it's not the Royals' philosophy. That's become very clear.
For sure. And how he operated in Miami and how he believes, you know, frankly, you should still operate as a small market baseball team.
And he's just saying you can't sustain success the way it used to happen. Like when I was growing up, dude, the Twins and there was a bunch of teams, the A's, right, for a while were very capable of doing that. And the Moneyball year. And he's just saying, like, I don't think that that's the way baseball works anymore. And I understand that. And really, the only team that's done it consistently in the modern era is most likely the Rays. And what he's saying is, hey, look, if anyone could be the Rays, they would, you know, they would choose to be.
There's truth
but there's teams that don't, like, have those, like, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10-year stretches where they just stink. I think their window is now. So I'd rather have Jack up now in their window with Bobby, with Vinny, with guys they have under control. I think the window's now, not later, I guess, is part of it.
Yeah, someone said, I thought you kept saying Nothing Personal. No, that's the name of his podcast.
Hey, Nothing Personal.
Hey, Nothing David. Personal. That's, the name of his podcast is Nothing Personal. Now, it was not me saying, hey, Nothing Personal, we disagree. No, that's actually the name of his podcast. Look, we definitely disagree on the approach, and I totally get that a general manager, a organization cannot operate to just appease fans. That's a bad way to operate. But I don't think anybody in Kansas City, I truly don't, is going to be upset, in my opinion, Cody, in 3 or 4 years or more, if Cags is who we think he is and they decide to call him up. Is anybody going to come back in a couple of years and say they screwed up by not waiting 2 more weeks if he ends up helping them get into the postseason this year and they go on a little bit of a run? Is that going to be the thought from Royals fans? You know, that's what's a little bit off for me.
They get back to the postseason. I don't remember the exact stat now. I pulled him up like months ago when we talked about this, right about the beginning of the Royals season. I don't think you all realize how few times the Royals have made the postseason back-to-back years in my lifetime or any of your lifetimes in their history.
Yeah, this would be the second time in my life.
Yeah. Okay. So that's not often. And I'm not saying they're bringing in Jack, but like the idea that Jack Caglione, the star, who you have to enter arbitration early with, not sign, not be on your team. Being called up now does not change the timeline of when he's available unless you're just not going to play him at all this year. And you're going to wait 2.5 more weeks into next year before you call him up. I don't think that's going to be the difference between they have 5 years of sustained success or don't. And I guess part of it is I just view their window as now. Are they going to have this pitching staff again? Are they going to have Bobby under cheap-ish control again? Like, no.
You gotta
I kind
of
need Jack
of
now. Yeah, like, I'm in a good window now. And Jack Caglione helps that window today. I don't want my organization thinking like, well, they will be screwed 5 years from now.
We have our listeners, right? Some of you might be our age and you're in your 30s, early 40s. Some of you might be over 60, right? We all have different perspective on, you know, the eras of Royals baseball and everything. But kind of what you were saying there, Cody, I think a lot of fans have been sick of it for years saying, well, in 5 years from now, blank is going to happen. You know what also is going to happen in a couple years? There's a very real shot that unfortunately we have a lockout in baseball and a new CBA. Now, I'm not saying
50-50
I'm not saying the new CBA is going to change everything. And there's going to be a lot of similar things.
But what about team control?
Arbitration might be adjusted. I have no idea. I don't think fans in Kansas City, at least, are saying, man, in 5 years, it's going to hurt us. I just don't think that's how fans in Kansas City right now are operating. And this is not just a Royals thing. I think the Chiefs have changed the perspective of the Kansas City sports fan. Mm-hmm. We are, call it spoiled, I don't know. The expectation is compete for championships, give yourself a shot to do that. And while you're right that the Royals have only been back-to-back postseasons a handful of times in our lifetime, that's one thing. But also, the expectation is just being 500 is not what people are shooting for in Kansas City. The Royals have a team across the parking lot for now from them that has been winning championships. That raised the bar for every sports team and, frankly, any entertainment option in Kansas City. That you better be a legit entertainment and competitive option. Otherwise, people are not going to support you. And I think that's part of this, which is why, look, I don't think the stadium stuff is also just a coincidence. I think it doesn't hurt that while you're trying to get a new stadium, whether it's in Kansas or Missouri, that you're fielding competitive teams. I don't think some of the recent spending is a flat-out coincidence either.
I do not think that's an accident. I do think that it coincides with, because don't you remember? This was not even kidding. This was the cry from some Royals fans at that time. Well, if you want me to pay for a stadium, you better prove that you care to spend money on this team. You better prove that you're about winning. Nothing about the time. And I'll just, even more so than previous ownership for sure. John Sherman has been more willing to open up the pocketbook than the previous regime. The previous regime did not open it up gold until they were already an established winning playoff baseball team. The Royals paid Bobby Wood Jr. before they had done squat. They were not a winning team when they paid Bobby Wood Jr. They had won like 65 games the year before, and they gave Bobby Wood Jr. a ton of cash.
Yeah.
And so, they have shown a willingness. And again, in the end, it boils down to one thing. Even if both plans fail or one plan fails or not, I want my team to try to win. I think actually one of the biggest curtains teams pulled over fans' faces for 20 years, when modern baseball and football and all changed around, is this idea that we allowed owners to normalize. It's okay to stink because stinking will make us better. And you're like, are you nuts? That's how I have to subscribe to you got to be the worst basketball team on the planet so you can get Cooper Flagg, or you're the worst basketball team on the planet so you can get Bryce Harper, or you're the Astros and you lose 5 years in a row so you can win World Series. It's not okay. And now, by the way, the Astros proved gold that you could have just been winning that whole time. It wasn't just those 4 years. They've continued to spend money and develop and draft. It wasn't just they were bad those 4 years and that's driven the last 20 years of them being 15 years, I don't know, 10 years of them being relevant.
Yeah.
They could have been relevant the whole time. Owners convincing us they had to be bad to win. I feel like we got duped on that, and we collectively allowed them to let us buy into that. And I prefer a team that wants to win. It all comes down to that. But no, I don't think it's an accident that they're trying to win while actively asking for a stadium.
It definitely doesn't hurt. And by the way, someone was asking, have we heard anything new from the special session? It's been somewhat quiet to this point in time, I understand. Now, we're obviously, I'll be honest, we're not really following it all that much today. We're in St. Louis getting set for CAG's debut. But from what we've said, no, I don't think there's any, quote-unquote, new news on that front in the last, 5 hours or something, if that's what you mean. We'll definitely let you know. We're back in studio tomorrow if anything changes, but nothing new. It is interesting, though, I'll say, just to, with that text, we are here in St. Louis, and we're going to go to Busch Stadium tonight. We drove past the, it's not called the Edward Jones Dome, I don't think anymore. I don't know what it's called. I think it's something different, whatever. I know
the
it is.
We Hate Stan Kroenke Pavilion,
sure,
or whatever the hell they call it.
And there's on this side of the state.
I don't blame him for hating Stan Kroenke, by the way.
On this side of the state line, there is still a faction, I should say, of Rams St. Louis football fans that are still refusing, to root for the Chiefs, and that's fine. There's also, I think, politicians that are on the eastern side of the state that don't want to come up with the money for KC Moe for the Chiefs and Royals. And that's a huge hurdle that they're going to have to try to overcome if they want to keep the teams in Missouri, because you've got a lot of people saying, well, why am I paying to help the teams on that side of the state line? Even though, let's remind you that people on the Kansas City side, like yourself, Cody, when you lived in KC Moe, your tax dollars went to help Busch Stadium back in the day or whatever as well. So it's just, that's a huge, the fact that we're here, this is a part of the state that not everybody.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was just saying we didn't do it. Kansas City didn't lose your football team. Although I will say earlier today,
Clark Hunt did vote a certain way. Yes.
But what's he supposed to do?
Because
he's a businessman. He's to go along with, if everyone's doing it, Clark Hunt isn't going to go against the grain against every other NFL owner. This isn't like he was like, good.
Yeah,
St. Louis learning their team. I'm going to steal all their market.
Yeah, we were talking to a radio host that works here in St. Louis at the station studio we're broadcasting from today, KMOX, and he was saying that part right there, though, there's still a faction of Rams fans or St. Louis football fans, I guess I should say, that will never forget or forgive that. They feel like that Clark Hunt should have voted a different way. But as you said, there was only one owner. there was only one owner that voted in favor of like the St. Louis football fan. You know who that was, Drew?
Yeah, Drew, specifically you. Do you know?
No.
It's the Bengals owner, man.
That'd be Bengals owner.
Mike
Brown?
Take the context clue.
I can't say I'm surprised.
I guess I just don't know why he was against it. What does he care?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of things about Mike Brown with his decision-making that we don't know about.
All right, coming up next, we will come back here live in St. Louis. We'll get some bets that we like that are out there. And we had J.J. Piccolo join us here on the show as he gets set for CAG's debut. Really good stuff. He answered some questions about what the lineup could look like tonight and moving forward. Kind of hinted at a big change. Talked about CAG's DHing tonight. Plus, he responded to what you guys just heard from David Sampson as well. We played him the earlier audio of that. So that's coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on Cody and Gold.
The 0-2 delivery, swinging a high drive, deep right field, way back. That ball is long gone, and that one reaches Elgin Street.
Caglione shoots it to left field. Rosario chasing it. He looks up, and that carries into the bullpen. Jack Caglione hits his seventh home run of the season.
Sent to left field again. Looping towards the wall on the warning track. It's gone. Jack Caglione, two home run game.
We need this guy in Kansas City right now, dog. This dude is straight up dominating the minor leagues right now.
Swing and a high fly ball deep to right field. Mettlinger back. He's out of room. It sails on to the roof of the training facility. And Jack Caglione wins this battle of future big leaguers.
You know, it's lefty with some of the biggest power in the game. Giancarlo Stanton in his prime. That's kind of what Jack could be.
Cags sends a line drive, a rocket out to right, and that one's out of here. The first Triple-A home run for the Royals' top prospect.
He's like a slightly bigger version of Shohei.
The Royals trying to find their way in the Central. I have the numbers right here, John. 13 home runs ranks last among all teams. Enter Jack Caglione. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. You see that guy, you think,
right.
We need him now.
When you get on the charter tomorrow night, and go with him.
Great.
Jack Caglione just a couple hours away from his big league debut here in St. Louis as we continue to broadcast live just a couple minutes from Busch Stadium. We'll be heading over there in about a half hour or so. Be sure to follow all our social media throughout the afternoon and evening. Station accounts also at Alex Gold, at Cody B. Tapp. Dusty, I think he says at Dusty Likens maybe.
Yeah, I think we were going to get a photo of Alex and Cags with their shirts off and see who's in better shape. They both have been going to the gym.
Yeah. We'll definitely get right on that. We will be talking to Cags.
I'm trying to get people over there, man.
We're going to be talking to Cags and Q a little bit later on this afternoon and hopefully some video of some BP before tonight's game. And hopefully some of you driving safe on I-70. I know a lot of you have been texting in that you guys were leaving maybe late this afternoon. There's still time. Like, you could actually still hop in your car right now and still make it in time for first pitch here in St. Louis. So hopefully you guys are traveling safely, especially those that had the whole train situation earlier where you ended up having to bus out to St. Louis. So I hope everything went good for you guys. But earlier today, we had the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo, join us. I thought it was a really interesting conversation about their thought process for calling up CAGs, also how the lineup could change. We could have maybe a big shift in the lineup tonight. You want to listen to that? But we started our conversation with J.J. asking him about the excitement around the organization for a big debut from CAGs.
Yeah, there's definitely an excitement. You know, we could feel it in Kansas City, but it's it seems very similar to when we decided that Bobby was going to be on the opening day roster a couple of years ago. The difference is obviously that this is the middle of the season and we're competing fairly well. And, you know, guy, he's a player that's had a lot of attention on him. So he just keeps doing what he's been doing. So, you know, excited to get it going tonight.
JJ, for like the people that might say, all right, this is reactionary, or is it because the offense is failing? Like, explain your process, right? Like, how did you get here? How did you decide now was the time for Jack Caglione? I know even a week ago you had said in ideal circumstances you call him up when the offense is kind of rolling. So how did you guys eventually come to this decision?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. In an ideal situation, that would be the easiest way to break him in, but you know, we've also said all along that we're just evaluating the player and we're going to do what's best for the player. And you know, it just seems like every week he shows us something that in whatever area it may be. And a lot of it's just pitch selection where he is improving. And we thought last week, early in the week, he faced some pretty good arms. You know, we were playing the Twins AAA team. And there were a couple guys there that have big league time that are quality pitchers. And you could see in his at-bats that he was making adjustments, not only at bat to at bat, but pitch to pitch. He walked a few more times last week than he had previous weeks. You know, drove the ball well, used all fields. He's not trying to do too much. He's taking his hits to left field. You know, it's just, you know, clear to us that he's a very mature hitter. And his time has come a little bit before we anticipated. And we had some really senior evaluators there in Omaha last week, and they walked away very impressed. And quite honestly, by Friday night, you know, I had settled in my mind that this is probably going to happen early next week.
I had heard at least one scout describe it as the way Bobby Wood Jr. works, in the sense that, like, okay, maybe they have flaws in their game, but then you're like, hey, I'd like you to work on this. And by the time they're working on it, they're already kind of fixing part of the problem. Is that kind of what you're talking about when you're talking about, like, those adjustments happening quick for Jack?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And let's face it, every player has flaws. I mean, there's no perfect player in this world. So there's going to be challenges for Jack, just like any major league player. And there's going to be some ups and downs, but that's normal. You know, but the way he's handled the attention, the way he handled going from AA to AAA, the way he even handled last year, going from A ball to the fall league and really getting going at the end of the fall league, you know, they're all good signs that he can take some coaching, really some self-evaluation, and really put his mind to addressing whatever it is that he's trying to address. And he's just got that presence about him, and you see it in, you know, I'd say once every, you know, 8 to 10 years, you know, you see a player where there's just that presence, and he's got that presence. And the other thing I keep trying to remind myself, I'll say, you know, he's 22 years old. He's a young kid, but there have been a lot of players that have played, you know, Latin American players, guys like Bobby that break into the league at 21 years old. You know, we shouldn't hold it against him, you know, because he spent 3 years in college. You know, when you see a mature hitter, you know it when you see it. And, you know, Jack just keeps proving that he can make these adjustments and be ready for the major leagues. So adding him to our major league team right now is a reflection of what he's done and his readiness for the major leagues.
We all had a chance, JJ, to see the social media video when Gersh broke the news to Cags. And again, I know you've been part of these before, but I guess peel back the curtain a little bit. What's that like for even you to maybe watch that, to see that reaction from a kid that has been playing baseball his whole life? And obviously his dream, his goal was to get to the big leagues.
Yeah, they're really neat to see. You know, before social media, we never got a chance to see those things. Our fans didn't get a chance to see it. So now, you know, when you get a chance to see it, you see how special it is. You see the player's reaction. I thought it was great that, you know, Gersh said, "Now go call your dad." That was pretty cool to hear as well. But Gersh has done that so many times for so many players that he's had a lot of practice. And you never want to take away from that moment. You want the player just to enjoy it. And ideally, you know, if their family was in town, you just go outside the clubhouse and give them a big hug. In this case, you know, he had to go call his dad. So pretty cool stuff.
No doubt about that. We're talking to the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo, here on 96.5 The Fan. Maybe this will be more of a question for Q and some of the guys later on this afternoon, but what kind of boost can this be for a clubhouse, too, when you're a team that obviously has expectations to go win and was in the playoffs last year, and then now you get a player that has the potential to really help this team?
Well, the team's excited about it. You know, we spoke to a couple players on Sunday evening just to let them know they knew that it was probably coming at some point. I think what Jack has done that it's going to be very, very helpful for him is the time he spent in spring training, he was so respectful to everybody else in the clubhouse. There was humility that just is engaging and endearing to the team. So when guys handle themselves like that, they're hard not to root for. I know our clubhouse is following what he was doing every day, and, you know, it's hard not to. But I think it's more of a reflection of who he is and how he gained the respect of teammates in spring training. And that's a big part of this. You know, you want a guy to be mature enough to handle the major leagues. But if they aren't that type of teammate, a move like this can create animosity. Well, that's absolutely not the case here. There's excitement within the clubhouse, and, you know, now we got to go out and play baseball. You know, it's not just about Jack Caglione. It's about our lineup starting to function a little bit better. I think what it does, it clearly adds some power to our lineup, but it also creates some depth in our lineup, and we can do some other things that we're still trying to decide on what the lineup's going to be tonight. But, you know, you may see a little bit different lineup than you've seen in the past. And, you know, if that's the case and our instincts are right, hopefully this offense gets a little bit of a boost, but not just from Jack, but from everybody else as well.
I guess it's just like a follow-up to that and just like the way he's going to play in the field. What is kind of the preferred or, I don't know, the mix you and Q are talking about? How much right, how much first, how much DH, and I guess how high are you willing to hit him in the lineup? Is there a possibility tonight we could see him hitting fourth or fifth? Or are you guys thinking about maybe starting him lower in the lineup and then trying to work him in that way?
Well, it's either going to be five or six, one of the two, you know, and that's what we're trying to decide on. And, you know, positionally, you know, he's done a good job in right field. You know, that's something that Rusty Koontz has spent the last 2 weeks with him. Rusty's very confident that he's going to hold his own out there. You know, it is a new position for him. So we got to be realistic in what we expect. First base is clearly his most comfortable position. But more than likely tonight, I think he's going to be DHing, you know, and I think, you know, that's very intentional just because you want him to just, you know, focus on the bat. Don't worry about the defense. So he'll probably DH tonight. But defensively, you're going to see him in the DH spot. You're going to see him in right field and you're going to see him at first base. He's going to just be part of that mix with Salvi and Vinny at first base. And there's going to be some opportunity to get him there as well.
I think some fans were trying to figure out exactly how the service time stuff works and Super 2 eligibility works. We played some audio from David Sampson, who was critical of your guys' decision to make the move now versus waiting a few weeks. If you could just kind of explain how that works. My understanding is there's different cutoff dates each year sometimes for Super 2 eligibility, and how much, if at all, did that play a role in this decision?
Well, first of all, it never plays a role for the Kansas City Royals. We're going to do what's best for the player, what's best for the organization. You know, there's a lot of unpredictability in Super 2, and it's very complicated to try to explain it real quickly here. But it's a little bit of a sliding scale, so he potentially can be a Super 2, but that's not the end of the world if he's a super two. that's not why we would or wouldn't make a decision, nor is service time. You know, that's if we had thought he was ready for the major leagues opening day, he would have been on the team opening day. So, you know, that is really irrelevant in our minds, because this is about winning baseball games, and this is about putting the right guys on the field. And now that we're comfortable that he's ready for this challenge, he's going to come up. And that's the same can be said for every player that I've ever been a part of in my time with the Royals, and it's going to be the same way moving forward.
Couple more things worth asking you, JJ, including kind of I want to ask you a little bit about where the offense is and kind of where kind of your hope is for the pitching staff and making sure you take advantage of how good your pitching staff is. But the obvious question, I don't care if it's a backfield, I don't care if it was a like at bat where they were just like live BP. What's the most impressive home run you've seen Jack Caglione hit? Is there one that stands out of being like over the railroad tracks kind of stuff, right? How far have you seen him hit it?
Well, It goes back a few years. I was watching University of Florida play Vanderbilt at the University of Florida, and he was actually pitching that day. I was there to see a player for Vanderbilt, and our area scout Nick Presto, who ended up signing Jack, you know, told me before the game. He said, "Look, you're going to see a left-handed pitcher who's pretty good today for Florida, but I like him as a hitter," and he hit one over the scoreboard there at the University of Florida. So that was my first introduction to Jack. And I know he's probably hit some further than that, but that was the first day I ever saw Jack Caglione play. And, you know, it's hard to forget a ball going over a scoreboard. So the first impression was pretty good.
You mentioned a couple minutes ago that is obviously the excitement around Jack Caglione, but also, hey, doing some things maybe in the lineup to try to get this offense going and get some other guys to get going. Big picture for you guys this year, knowing how well the pitching has been for you and at elite level to this point in time, does it, I don't know if an obligation is the right word, do you feel almost that there's an obligation to not let this pitching, quote unquote, go to waste, that you guys have a really special pitching staff this year?
No doubt about it. I mean, a big part of this decision to bring Jack up has to do with how good our pitching is. If our pitching wasn't as good as it's been, we're not in the position we're in. I mean, that's just facts. You know, the offense hasn't done what we know it's capable of doing and believe it will do. But thankfully, the pitching's been so good, even through a 2-week run here without Steph and Cole. You know, they compete every night. They keep us in every single game. And that's very valuable, and that's a big part of why we're excited for these last 100 games. I mean, it's elite. You know, it was elite last year. It's elite this year. And that's not lost upon us. I mean, pitching is the name of the game. We play good defense. You know, you pitch, you play defense, you get some big hits, you're winning games. And right now we're just not getting the big hits. But the pitching's been there, and that's why we've had the opportunity to win games, even when we're not going that great offensively. So that is not lost on us at all.
Do you guys as a staff look at like when you got Noah Kammer come up or Steven Cruz, some of these other guys have had to come up because, you know, Ursek's been hurt or Reagan's or others recently. Do you look at that as like, okay, pitching development is doing it the way we're supposed to? Because I always viewed a good organization the pitching way is guy comes up and he's maybe not heralded the way we're talking about a guy like Jack Caglione, but they're immediate contributors.
That's a big part of what we're trying to do is create depth with pitching, and you know, our pitching development department has done an incredible job, not only with Noah, but others. But for Noah to step up at a time where we really needed him has been outstanding. I mean, it's exactly, you know, how you draw it up. But he's been so good. I mean, that's, I was commenting to somebody the other day, you know, I thought he would be able to keep us in games, but I didn't think he'd be able to win games for us, you know, like just giving up one run and two runs. And that's what he's doing. And it's really impressive. And I think that culture that our pitching department has created from minor leagues to the major leagues and the way they handle the pitchers, they step in here, they're very comfortable. Guys like Michael Wacha and Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans, those guys do a great job embracing the younger guys. You wouldn't know that Noah Cameron's in the first month of his major league career when you watch him sit in the dugout or walk around during BP. I mean, he is very comfortable in a very positive way in our clubhouse and around our pitchers. But that's what happens when you get good leadership from the veterans. And that's what we've had the last 2 years. And I think Chris Bubich benefited from it last year and has bled into this year. Cole Reagans and Brady Singer last year, you know, had career years for them. And it's because the culture is good. And that makes it a lot easier for Noah Cameron or anybody else to break in with us.
Noah Cameron, as well as he's pitched, I feel like is maybe has prompted you guys to have to make a decision, or maybe this is a pretty simple one for you. But Cole Reagans, is there a chance that he's activated on Thursday? And if so, what's the thought there with where you guys go with Noah Cameron at this point?
Yeah, we've got Cole lined up for Friday. He's still got to throw aside. He threw the ball. His line wasn't good in Double-A, but we see that a lot when major league pitchers make a rehab assignment. But his stuff was very good. And most importantly, his leg felt good. So he's got another side to throw just to make sure he's on target and 100% healthy before we activate him. But if we do activate him, it'll probably be for Friday's start. But we'll just play this out. We've got some off days here. You know, we're looking at different ways to try. I don't think that with all the off days we have coming up that a six-man rotation makes sense right now. So we'll have to make a decision on what we're going to do with Noah or others. But at the same time, they're good decisions to have. You know, you can never have enough pitching. So when you have one starter too many, there's ways to be creative and come up with a way to get them all involved.
J.J. Piccolo, Royals General Manager, Executive Vice President of Baseball Ops. Enjoy the game tonight in St. Louis, and maybe we'll see you around this afternoon.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
There you go. So that was J.J. Piccolo earlier with us today as we continue here in St. Louis a couple minutes before we head over to Busch Stadium. Yeah, look, I think a couple really interesting things on what we could see happen, I guess, in the next hour or two.
We got a lineup yet?
I have
2:33 probably.
It. And that is like next he acknowledged hour. That, look, that you're going to have Jack Caglione hitting fifth or sixth tonight. He said it's likely he's going to DH. And then he acknowledged, look, we're toying with some things, basically. I don't know if he used the word toying, but essentially, like, we're discussing maybe there's a nice little shift in the lineup happening tonight, Cody. We could see a significant change, not just that Cags is there at fifth or sixth, but could this be a lineup tonight and a lineup they plan on using going forward where maybe it's India's not leading off. Maybe they move Salvi further down in the order. Could we see a shift like that? And that's what will be intriguing to watch over the next hour or two.
Yeah, very much so. Like, are they getting ready to just say, and like I told you earlier, I'm going to probably view the Royals season because the timing of everything else, it started a couple weeks before. It'll start a couple of games after with Lugo and Reagans coming back. But it's marked by Cag's emergence into the big leagues gold, which is, I will think of the Royals before Jack Caglione and after Jack Caglione as far as what this team is performing. Not that it's just on him, but that they make these lineup changes. Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo come back and start seeing if they can heighten their level of competition. Not just be 500, but start taking those steps to be above 500 as we move on. Get yourself and stay in a playoff position and keep driving forward. I'm going to kind of view the before and after. Maybe they'll play the same, but like I'm viewing these as like not two different seasons, but like a demarcation of like what the season looks like.
And I do think, you know, and it's absolutely a boost for the clubhouse, you know. And as JJ was saying, the guys were following Caglione plenty while I was in the minors as well. Now he's part of their team. We're going to head over to Busch Stadium, almost said Kauffman Stadium. We're going to head over to Busch Stadium and
Kauffman Stadium
you guys,
next Tuesday.
Yeah, that's
for
right.
His home debut.
We're going to head over there. Be following our social media channels. We'll have some audio and conversation with Cags, with Q, plus some BP, hopefully, plus throughout the night. I know Dusty is maybe in St. Louis now. He should be, I would think, at this point in time. Or just
don't know when he left.
Don't
so
know when
close.
He left, but pretty close. But you can give us a follow at Alex Gold, at Cody B. Tapp, and of course, the Fan 965. Thanks to Drew, manning things back at the studio. We will be back in studio tomorrow. We're driving back after the game tonight.
Woo!
Thanks to our guests. Enjoy tonight. Be listening right here on 96.5 The Fan. The Drive is up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.